Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name's Mateel.
So let's see, what have we got? We've got Atlanta. You quit that day job at that mail place. It is a typical music for Atlanta. You've got a new record. You dropped out of school to take that job at the mail place.
I wish people would ask me more about my influences that are not musicians or musical artists.
I have a question for you. Could you, I know I'm doing comedy, influences. So which way do we want to go? Do we want to go to art? Do we want to go to books? Do we want to go to philosophy? Where do you want to go that's going to inform people about the music?
I think art and writing and books. I've always been a big fan of Roald Dahl because he had a shed in the back of his property behind his house, and he would go consistently in there. He had a routine where he would get his coffee or whatever, tea or something, and he would go back there, and he had a formulaic way of doing his work, and he did it the same way every day. And that's something I really look up to, because it's very difficult for me to do that. I'm quite disorganized, and that's just not the way I operate. But I know that a lot of old school artists or writers have that routine that they've set up for themselves that allows them to consistently make work, which is, funny enough, the theme of Satisfactory is the continuation of work.
Let's get the visual design thing kind of out of the way, because that was technically a side venture, but it was a full-time job. So how did you know when it was time, okay, I think I can get away with doing this full-time and still pay the rent?
It was only recently that I put my 2 weeks in March. That's really the actual moment where I was like, okay, I can do this and I can afford to get my own health insurance. But when the universe gave me these two options, that would have been April of 2018 when we went on tour with Jack White, and I came back to my day job and just went back to work. It was like, oh yeah, you can have this life or you can go back and do this. It's your choice.
So you've got this whole stew of UK going for you. Number one, you're signed to Heavenly over there, right? What's that like, being from Atlanta and being signed to a legendary UK label?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the first thing that kind of took off or launched everything in the UK, was being affiliated with Heavenly. And all of a sudden, we're on BBC One and BBC Six, and I had no knowledge of British radio. I didn't know that there were so few stations and that when you're on BBC Six or BBC One, it's a huge, huge deal. I didn't know that when it was happening. So it all kind of just flooded in unexpectedly. And I'm learning all the time, all these new things about how that market works. The business is important, and I consider myself pretty business savvy. But that doesn't come first by any means. What comes first is the work. If the work is great, then the business should be easy. But in the US, it seems as if consumerism and capitalism has kind of taken over music, like mainstream music, in a way that it has never done to this scale before. But in the UK, everybody's kind of still got a sense of self and a sense of their own taste, and regardless of what other people think.
Playing Glastonbury, are you aware of the gravity of how cool that is?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've heard of Glastonbury my whole life. I never really knew what it was, though. I mean, it's a place, it's a festival, there's pictures of people and covered in mud, you know, famous bands have played Glastonbury over the decades, right? So yeah, it's a everything kind of, all these stepping stones are kind of just mind-blowing as they come.
That's good. Okay, let's get to the music, and let's talk about, I'm just going to go straight for it. I'm going to do it kind of backwards, and then I'm going to launch into this, not even the way I have it. I love the Rolling Stone quote about that, and I took 5 years of French, but I'm not even going to attempt, because my daughter pronounces French much better than I do, even after 5 years of it. But I love the Rolling Stone quote that, you know, this gets to what you were just talking about. It's like, who talks about demographics with music? Do you know the demographic better than they do?
better than the demographic knows itself. I'm not really sure what they're referring to in that article. Are they referring to like?
What they're saying is that video is so perfectly produced and concepted that the models in the lingerie all look positively like they were cast as if they were cast in stone, like they were identical. And yet you're making a bold statement there. But what's intriguing to me is that they didn't talk about the bold statement and all the things you went through to get to that bold statement. They talk about the demographic.
I mean, it was just a really fun video to make, and I don't have some huge philosophical rant to go on about it, but... Yeah. I mean, I dressed up as a man, and I really looked like a man. And when I looked in the mirror, it changed my mindset for the time being while I was on set. And when all the models got there, they had never seen me in my normal face. They only saw me as a guy the entire time. So that kind of put a method acting tint on the entire production. But I don't know. I'm just kind of poking fun at people.
You're going to disappoint people so much because they need more radicalism these days. How dare you, right?
I'm not going to give them what they want. I know what they want.
Don't, you know what? New t-shirt. I'm not going to give the people what they want. That could be your tour t-shirt. I think that's pretty cool. Okay. So this is what I want to spend some time on because this really intrigues me. Jonah and Randy, and the way that you work together, and again, as someone who has produced a lot of music, but it goes about an inch deep when everybody talks about this. So this is the way it's portrayed, and I want to change this now. They make the tracks, and then you write lyrics around them and write a song around them. Is that really what happens? But how is there a discussion of the tracks prior to them being made? Do you know that they're going to make those 10 tracks and one's going to have a Farfisa organ and another one's going to feel, you know, French New Wave and another one's going to feel rock and rolly? Because back to you asked me what I thought of the album. And the one thing that I noticed is that, you know, the cohesiveness is indeed your voice.
Part of a creative relationship involves trust. And I trust them as musicians and talented songwriters to put together really, really good music. And that's what they did. And if I sat there and I tried to control everything and make it the way I wanted it and, you know, nitpick little things, the record wouldn't be what it naturally became. So... this creative process in particular just works that way. I mean, between us. I mean, it might be different with, like, you know, if I was writing with someone else, the process could be completely different. But I put shoes on whatever outfit they write. And I didn't, you know, I don't accept everything. I'm not like just, oh, yeah, I love everything. Like, no, I mean, I have... There's little times where I'll be like, maybe this could be more like this, or we should change this part, this note, so that I can do this with my voice instead. There's like little things, but 85% of the time, it's just trust, which is really important.
Based on the unusual way that you do this, what is the filter for one of your songs? How do you know that it's your song and that it wouldn't be someone else's song?
Well, my voice. I would think, but there's also a lot of production stuff on there that's pretty atypical that Randy and Jonah did. It's all analog equipment, and people are starting to use those more now, but I mean, they have a very specific way of doing things. So
tell me more about that. I mean, geek me out for a couple of minutes in terms of what that means. When you say analog equipment, analog instruments, like using an authentic organ from 1964, et cetera, et cetera. Tell me a little more about that.
I mean, I don't own the equipment, but yes, there's an organ from the 60s in there, maybe 70s, I don't know, but it's old. And there's a tape machine that we used on Je ne me connais pas to make the echoing screams. The soundboard is connected to a digital converter thing, but it's like a it's like a 70s soundboard with big black plastic knobs and stuff.
What made you use the cement factory as the icon?
Satisfactory, yeah. I mean, I was just looking for a factory setting with industrial equipment, and it happened to be that a cement factory was on the Georgia Film Commission website, and they were the only ones I could contact that would allow me to come in and have free reign over the whole place. So it was really just a practical decision as to how we would make this video work. But it was fantastic.
This is a weird question, but it'll be relevant years from now. The way that you've produced what you've produced here, is your plan to continue doing it that way? Do you like the way that it works, where you are handed melodies and you do what you do after that?
When I started this, I didn't really have a plan for any of this, and it turned out great.
Pick one song when you got the music, you went, oh, I wasn't expecting this. And then how did you manage to build what you built around it, the lyrics and everything else? Because the voice is definitely the point. And again, you've been compared to everybody from Patti Smith to Chrissy Hynde, to, you know, and it's like, to me, that's not really the point here. The voice is also the way you're writing the lyrics and the way that you're putting it all together.
Yeah, Keep the Change was one of the later tracks that we recorded for this album. And I didn't expect that type of music when I got it. Yeah, I didn't expect that type of music when I got it. But I immediately wanted to write to it. And I think I was able to come up with some hooks for it that are different than, you know, the rest of the album, because of how creative a song it is. I'm not really sure how else to describe it. It's there's a lot going on in that song compared to like the music behind Rescue You, which is just like a Rolling Stones like rock and roll song, and it's great. But Keep the Change is something entirely different, and I was able to do a lot of different things with it that I hadn't done before.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you get to pick a pile of songs in between.